Everyone, thank you for tuning into the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. It's February 2018, and you're listening to episode 60 of Postmodern Realities, and I'm Melanie Cogdill, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. On this episode, I'm joined by Wayne Mahal. Wayne teaches comparative world religions at the University of North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina Agricultural and Technical State University, Limestone College, and Wingate University. He's the author of Patterns of Religion and Religious Autobiographies. Wayne has written an effective evangelism article for the volume 41, number 1 issue of the Christian Research Journal, and his article is called A Christian Response to the Hindu Concept of Spiritual Quest. Wayne, it's good to have you on.
Thanks, Melanie. It's good to be with you.
Well, not that mean people kind of know about Hinduism a little bit, but just kind of in pop culture. So can you explain to our listeners a little bit how Hindus view life?
Yes, you're right. Most people do get their view of Hinduism from pop culture, the ideas of reincarnation, you know, where you keep coming back over and over again, the idea of dharma, karma. Those are a few of the Hindu ideas that are out there that most people don't ever even have a chance to learn in detail about. Hopefully today we can cover some of that. Your question was, how do they view life? In general, Hindus believe that life is basically a search for meaning, or a quest, a journey. Hindus don't expect to find the answers to life's deepest questions in just one lifetime. There's that idea of reincarnation, right? In a simple, easy-to-digest formula, that's not what they're looking for. They believe that life is so complex, there's so much to life, that it's going to take many lifetimes to discover the deepest depths of life. And that's where reincarnation fits into their idea. And their idea of the spiritual quest supports reincarnation, and reincarnation supports the idea of the spiritual quest effectively. That's the basic idea for the Hindu and their view of life.
Well, Hinduism is so different than Christianity, historic Christianity, that it probably is very different for them if someone was going to share to them the Christian gospel. So how do Hindus view the gospel presentation based on this view of life of many lifetimes to be able to understand something?
Yeah, that's a good question. First of all, let's start with Christ. How do Hindus view Christ? Because Christ is the gospel, as we know, and he is the good news. To the Hindu, though, Christ would be seen as a great teacher, a great prophet in history, like their great gurus and sadhus, the holy men who travel about India with wisdom, passing wisdom on to the lay Hindu. So, with Christ in mind, Christ comes with news to the Christian, but the news for the Christian is the news of salvation, you know, salvation from sins, and a rebirth into a new life with Christ. For the Hindu, the gospel takes away from that idea of the deep search of humankind that they're experiencing, that deep quest that they have, that idea that they'll make spiritual progress in this life and in the next if they just practice their good karma. The idea of the gospel impedes on that evolutionary cycle of self-knowledge established by nature and by the many gods that Hindus worship. So the gospel is seen truly as a stumbling block, not just to the Christians who find it hard to believe that God's grace could be so full and rich in the appearance of Christ, the God-man, but also to the Hindus. The gospel, again, is even more of a stumbling block. Doesn't make sense to them at all.
So it is really different for Christians and what they believe salvation is, like you said, from the idea that people are sinful and in order to have a relationship with God, they need to be saved from their sins. Their view of salvation and a spiritual quest is really different than a Hindu one. And so in terms of, you know, the Christian understanding of sin is so different than when you tell them that Jesus came to die for sins. How do they deal with that?
Well, you're exactly right, Melanie. The Christians say on one hand that they believe that a person has to put their faith in Jesus Christ in order to be saved. And Hindus don't argue with that teaching, really. They just kind of overlook it. They're basically concerned with the concept of a continuing spiritual search that has been, according to the various teachings of Hinduism, in progress for countless ages, for many eons. This occurs through many lifetimes for the Hindu, and the form it takes is in the cycle of the birth to death through reincarnation. In Hinduism, we call that samsara. Samsara is that life cycle from birth to death into reincarnation and back to the next life, whatever that life might look like for you. So for the Hindu, it's a quest for the ultimate, the final realization of the self, that inner being, what's called the eternal Atman. This is an important concept to understand. What we might call the soul in Christianity, our soul or spirit that returns to God when our body dies, the Hindu would call that the Atman. That's a piece of Brahman. It's the part of Brahman that Brahman puts into each person so that when you die in this life, that Atman leaves the body, goes into the reincarnation cycle, and comes back to Earth in another type of experience eventually. And an Atman will be that part placed into the next life that you live as well.
In your article, you talk about one of the great Hindu thinkers, Radhakrishnan. And what is his view of the Hindu idea of a quest?
Well, Radhakrishnan strongly endorses the view that I just spoke of, this idea of the many lifetimes, the understanding occurring over many, many lifetimes, a spiritual quest. One of his quotes will help us to understand that. He says, quote, "Religion and philosophy, life and thought, the practical and the theoretical, form the eternal rhythm of the spirit. We rise from life to thought and return from thought to life in a progressive enrichment, which is the attainment of every higher levels of reality along the way, which is built forever." He says that what is built forever is forever building in the process of being built, unquote. So his idea is that it's like building a house. You're satisfied with it. You live in it for a while, but then you get bored with it and you tear it down and you build a nicer, bigger house. And you get tired with that, et cetera, et cetera. That illustration of continuing building a bigger, better home, hoping to find that perfect destination. That's the idea of the quest that Radhakrishnan is talking about.
So what about, you were just talking about this idea of perfection, of being able to attain perfection. So how does the Hindu idea of eternal quest relate to this ultimate perfection of humankind?
Yeah, the Hindu expects to endure an eternal quest for the perfection of humankind, for the perfection of themselves and all of humankind, with an eternal hunger for a deeper teaching for truth and life and reality. There's a similarity between the follower of Christ and the Hindu. We're always searching for a deeper truth, but we've already found that truth, the one truth. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth," not a truth, or some evolution of truth to come. Jesus says, "I am the truth now. If you follow me, I will be with you, I'll be in you, and the truth will set you free indeed." From this idea that truth is out there somewhere in the future for you to find. Whereas the Hindu, when they look at reality, they find it difficult to accept Jesus Christ as the one whose absolute authority over conscience and whose ability and willingness to save is presented as sort of self-certifying truth. For the Hindu, they argue for a continuation of this search for knowledge and truth, whereas Jesus Christ asked for a total commitment of a person for that search to continue right here and right now. Just to think of the rich young ruler, you know, that encounter, Jesus looks at him and says, Well, first, the rich young ruler says, I think you're a great teacher, and I've heard so much about you. What would it take for me to be able to follow you? And Jesus looks right at him and says, well, go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and then come and follow me. Jesus was saying, in a nutshell, to him, I know the thing you value the most, it's your material goods, it's your prized possessions. Those are truth to you. If you're willing to give up that truth, then you can come and follow me and find the real truth. In a sense, the Hindus looking for that real truth, but they would never settle for Christ as being the one carrying that, not only carrying it, but embodying it. You know, Christ was incarnate. He was God in the flesh. And that concept is taboo to the Hindu thinker. Hinduism offers a tapestry of colors, but Jesus Christ offers himself as the complete answer. And that's just such a powerful thought in the mind of the follower of Christ.
You're listening to the Postmodern Realities Podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest is Wayne Mahal. Wayne has written an effective evangelism article for the Volume 41, Number 1 issue of the journal, and his article is called A Christian Response to the Hindu Concept of Spiritual Quest. To read his article, please subscribe to the journal, and we have a new lower subscription rate of $33.50. It was formerly $39.50. So it is now $33.50 for a 6-issue subscription. And to subscribe online, visit equip.org. We were talking about you were mentioning the Hindus' view of the ultimate truth and the ultimate reality, and, you know, just how different Christianity is from that view. So how should Christians effectively respond to this view and engage the Hindu with the Christian view of reality?
Yes. Another good question. Well, they're all good questions, obviously. This one, we have to look carefully at the Hindus' search for truth again. However reality might be defined by us or the Hindus or anyone, the bottom line is that the Hindu searches for reality and believes that one can't limit yourself to the concept of reality to just one definition or some abstraction of reality. Radhakrishnan, for example, explains the Hindu view of reality in this quote, the Hindu attitude to religion is interesting. While fixed intellectual beliefs mark off one religion from another, Hinduism sets itself no such limits. Intellect is subordinated to intuition, dogma to experience, outer expression to inward realization. Religion is not the acceptance of academic abstractions or the celebration of ceremonies, but a kind of life or experience. It is insight into the nature of reality or experience of reality, end quote. So a Hindu seeker is looking for an experience of reality without knowing in advance what that experience actually is. It's like you head out into the woods to explore nature. You don't know where you're going. You're following a path you've never been on before. You just trust that path's going to lead you back to a familiar place and not somewhere where you're lost in the middle of the forest. For the Hindu, the practitioner of Hindu, they know intuitively that the experience would be better and nobler than any other experience they've ever felt before if they should discover that experience along their quest. That kind of drives them, the idea that around that next corner in life, no matter what the circumstance might be, where they're at on the caste system, whether at the highest of the high, the Brahmin caste, or the lowest of the low, the Shudra or the untouchable caste, they still believe that around every corner there's an opportunity if they would just follow their karma, do their good deeds, do their duty, which is their dharma, the gods could favor them in any moment. The Hindu believes that almost totally, without exception, that a person can enjoy this just the journey itself. It may be absolutely confusing, but at least it's your journey. And as a Hindu, you say, here I am, the gods, you open yourself up to that journey, and whatever happens, happens along the way. A Christian response to this, the follower of Christ would encourage or could encourage their Hindu friend, let's say if you were speaking with them, not to give up their search for reality, but to continue the search. Continue the search after receiving Christ as their personal Savior. Jesus Christ would be presented as the Alpha and the Omega of this person's individual spiritual search, the beginning and the end, the starting point and the closing point. With Christ all along the way in that journey, Jesus Christ would, in such exciting cases for the Christian and the new Hindu follower, Christ would become the constant companion, the point of reference for this person. And he would, in response to the intense approach of his new servant, continue to reveal the riches and majesty of his glory. Someone who hungers and thirsts to know him more. That's the Christian journey. Every day we're in the Word of God. The Spirit is in us, drawing us toward Christ. And we long to know him more. And by knowing him more, we turn then to those around us, and he shines through us. That's what we hope. We don't always accomplish that, obviously. The world is a powerful force working against us, but we do have Christ as the Alpha and the Omega on this journey that we're taking with him.
Well, in the journey that Hindus have, they have various aspects of it. You just talked to us about their search for reality, and then you also mentioned that they have they're searching for truth as well. So part of their journey is a search for truth. So what is their perspective about the search for truth? And then how can Christians respond to a Hindu view of searching for truth?
Yes, Hindus believe that one cannot reduce or limit the concept of truth to just one interpretation of truth. It's a concept that fits really good with our relativistic culture today in the postmodern world. The idea is that there is no truth that's absolute for anyone. Your truth is true for you, and my truth is true for me. Although, you know, on any given day, 1 + 1 still equals 2. But we won't go down that path. The question is, what do Hindus believe about truth? Let's go to the Upanishads, one of the great literature collections of Hindu writings. It discusses the concept of truth in a very interesting manner. First, we find a description of Brahman, the unchanging reality underlying every sector and facet of the world. Quote from the Upanishads, "The imperishable is real, as sparks innumerable fly upward from a blazing fire. So from the depths of the imperishable arise all things. To the depth of the imperishable they again descend." Unquote. Hindus see this struggle with this unchanging reality behind the world of ceaseless change. Obviously, the concept of reality has become dualistic for the Hindu in the Hindu thought process, in the Hindu mind. The changeless Brahman on the one hand and the changing world on the other hand. However, the Upanishads strictly maintain that there is only one reality, and the supreme purpose of life is to experience that reality. The Upanishads resolve this by using the famous Hindu saying of neti neti, which means not this or that. It's neither this or that. It's the both and, not the either or. Which I have to say, I tell this quick story here that Ravi Zacharias has put out there. He was having lunch with a Hindu follower at some point in his past, and they were both eating, and Ravi was eating his meal quickly. He was hungry, and the Hindu was trying to draw on a napkin, not even touching his food. He was very interested in showing Ravi his idea of truth. He was trying to draw on a napkin his diagram for that. And when he was done, he said that the idea of the Western thinker, what's the problem with you, especially you Christians, is that you see the world as an either-or kind of world, black or white. But the Hindu sees the world as both and. It's a both and world. It's both this and that. To which Ravi said, well, so you're saying it's either both and or either or? And the Hindu thinker called himself, I guess the either-or does sort of emerge in the end, doesn't it? He said to Ravi, to which they both laughed. And Ravi said, yes, at least in my life, it does. He said, if I'm going to cross the road, I'm going to look both ways for the bus I do that because if the bus is coming and I step off of the curb, it's either the bus or me. It's not both the bus and me. And again, they laughed. So the idea of the both and concept that the Hindu tries to give us just doesn't fit with reality, where there are no square circles. There are no married bachelors. And 1 + 1 will always equal 2. It doesn't matter what world you're in or what country you're in. Those things show us that there are absolute truths after all. But the concept, Christian concept, or the Christian response to this idea, is that we can challenge our Hindu friends to distinguish between philosophical truth and revealed truth, just as Ravi was doing with his Hindu friend at lunch. The former is intellectually stimulating, philosophical truth, but the latter, revealed truth, is spiritually satisfying. There's a big difference there. Intellectual stimulation, though it might thrill us, can never replace spiritual satisfaction. And that spiritual satisfaction comes from Christ, as a gift from Christ.
Well, finally, in the Hindu's spiritual quest and journey, they're also searching for life. So they're searching for truth and reality, but also for life. So can you explain to us what their search for life is and how Christians should give an effective response from the Christian worldview to rebut their view of what they think a search for life is?
Sure. There's a great deal of confusion regarding the concept of life in Hindu texts. Hindus basically don't believe that what you see, hear, or observe with your sensory experience, your sight, your hearing, your sense of touch, your sense of smell, they don't believe that's reality. That's an illusion to the Hindu. Let's take Krishna, for example, who's the incarnation of Vishnu. In his discourse with Arjuna, the warrior king, in the great Hindu writing known as the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about the elusive nature of life. He says, quote, "Never was there a time when I was not, nor thou, nor these men, nor will there ever be a time hereafter when we shall cease to be. As the soul passes in this body through childhood, youth, and age, even so it's taking on the form of another body. The sage is not perplexed by this." End quote. A Hindu seeks to fulfill concurrently two vital missions in life: seek union with the self and the world, and to seek renunciation from the world at the same time. So a Christian response to this Hindu view in the search for life should be something along the lines of explaining Christ, how Christ gives abundant life to every person who comes to him in faith by providing complete deliverance from this world that leads to death, inevitable death. However, the deliverance is not from the world of illusion that the Hindus believe in. It is from the world of sin. We must accept the Hindu concept of ignorance, but only as ignorance of the concepts of human sin and the wonderful provision that Christ has for this cancellation of sins in the end. We must share with our Hindu friends that we are talking about our inability to understand the depth and complexity of human sin, which conceals from us the glorious meaning of God's grace for the forgiveness of our sin. It remains an ideal only for the Hindu without the experiential reality that they have. So the bottom line is that rebellion against God cannot be argued away with scholarly and philosophical discourses with our Hindu friend. It never works. There have been missionaries to India, Amy Carmichael, for example, who tell stories of being there for 10 years before they had a single Christian convert. They had to learn how to share the gospel with their Hindu friends without, as I say, putting on a flamethrower and coming out, you know, with guns blazing. That doesn't work. That approach won't work at all with a Hindu. Rebellion against God cannot be argued away with scholarly and philosophical discourses, as I've said, and sin against God cannot be dismissed with disciplined spiritual searches. That's the approach we take compassionately with our Hindu friend.
So do Hindus ever think that there's, with their view of reincarnation and that it's going to take more than one lifetime to ever attain spiritual truth, do they ever feel that there's an end to their spiritual quest? Is there a time where they feel like they finally found truth? And how would Christians you know, respond to their views of if there is even an end to the spiritual journey or quest that they're on?
Yeah, yes, good question. I think that the Hindu has epiphanies along the way. They find truth with a little T in the little moments of a day or an evening in their life experience, in with their family and friends, in, at their job, in the festivals that they celebrate, worshiping the gods along the way. I think we need to ask our Hindu friends to recognize that one cannot discover answers to eternal spiritual questions all by oneself in this journey. One needs spiritual insights and concentrated training from an external source, and that one must willingly and completely submit to the revelations of God, who loves everyone so much that he died to save them, John 3:16, right? In the end, Hindus have two choices. They accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and begin to live fulfilled lives with the reality and the truth of Jesus and life in Jesus, or they can continue to explore and search out ideas and concepts that may raise interesting questions but never answer those questions. They propose the existence of certain metaphysical realities, but they don't promise any spiritual certainties. It's kind of these truths that they find, these truths with a small T in the life's journey along the way. In the end, ultimately, and I've had this sense with many Hindus that I've spoken with along my journey and witnessing to Hindus over the last three decades. In the end, there's this sense of hopelessness and endlessness and meaninglessness that really is there behind the smile and the kindness that Hindus show. They're very, very, very kind people, very loving, very giving. I would say to someone who was sharing with their Hindu friend the idea of a search for answers, that's a great idea, but where and how does one begin the journey, the true journey? How does one know that one has reached the end of that journey? Why not start with the certainty of Jesus Christ and ensure that they'll have a safe arrival at the end of that road, that all paths won't lead them to dead ends, to cul-de-sacs in their journey? I would begin there to discuss that with them.
Well, finally, I want to end with some fun rapid-fire questions for Wayne. So, Wayne, black coffee or a latte?
Definitely a latte, and that's so appropriate because, you know, I've spent a lot of time in India, and coffee's not the big drink there. It's actually chai tea, and it's served hot in small little clay cups. I wish I had one right now, actually.
And do you still ever pull any all-nighters?
Not all-nighters per se. I do manage to get little naps along the way, so I'll stay up to 2 or 3 in the morning, but I will every once in a while get a couple hours sleep, go to bed at 3, get a couple hours sleep, and get back up at 6 because I have to.
And do you prefer to read physical books or do you prefer ebooks?
This will probably date me. I'm not sure if it will or not, but I love the feel of a book in my hand. I remember in first grade when I got my Curious George books. I don't know if that will date me too, but if you remember those, they were bright yellow and they would come from Scholastic, and I would get those books and I would just hold them in my hand and smell them. Just the smell of the new book is still in my brain as I think about it, but I'd love to have a hard copy of a book in my hand as opposed to reading it on my phone or some other device.
Well, thanks, Wayne, for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast and for helping us understand Hinduism a little bit better.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we're glad to have you on. Today's guest is Wayne Mahal, and Wayne has written an effective evangelism article for the Volume 41, Number 1 issue of the Christian Research Journal, and it's called A Christian Response to the Hindu Concept of Spiritual Quest. To read his article, please subscribe to the journal. We have a new lower subscription rate of $33.50 for a 6-issue subscription. And to subscribe online, visit equip.org. We'd like to hear from you, so connect with us on social media. Like the Bible Answerman Facebook page and follow CRI, Christian Research Journal, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Bible Answerman on Twitter. Follow the Bible Answer Man on Instagram, and please subscribe to the Bible Answer Man channel on YouTube. If you like this episode, please subscribe to the Postmodern Realities podcast on iTunes, and we'd like you to rate and review our podcast. Please share this episode on your social media accounts as well. Be sure you tune in daily to the Bible Answer Man broadcast hosted by CRI President Hank Hanegraaff, who answers your questions live on air. To ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Hank is also live streaming each week on Facebook and YouTube, so check equip.org for dates and times. In addition, head to iTunes and subscribe to Hank Unplugged, which is Hank's new audio podcast. Follow Hank Off the Grid, where he has in-depth conversations with some of the brightest minds discussing topics you care about. So until our next Christian Research Journal author conversation, thanks for listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast.